The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday, call it Friday Eve edition. I got my little buddy here, and I've also got my congressman, our friend Mark Pocan, joining us live via phone. Welcome, Mark, to the greatest radio show ever, some say.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. I thought I might be the little buddy for a minute there. I'm like, well,
We resemble that remark, Mark.
I don't ever make short jokes about my congressman. Mark, I understand you're in the district, glorious Madison, Wisconsin, or somewhere nearby. That's my understanding?
Yeah. We've been doing town halls. We've been doing all kinds of things this week. Today we had Secretary Granholm here talking about parts of the Inflation Reduction Act that helps people in trying to do home energy audits. There's some help the federal government for that, as well as actually doing the work to make sure your home is at its best for retaining heat and other energy savings. So it was a good day.
Well, Mark, I've never seen a body like the U.S. Congress that needed a 2-week spring break as bad as you guys did. some new news. Your congressional delegation mate from Green Bay, Mike Gallagher, he's outie. And it seems like, Mark, by choosing to exit early, but not too early, he's avoiding a special and kind of sticking it to his own party in the U.S. House. Mark, what do you think of Gallagher's retirement announcement?
Yeah, my guess is when he voted, not to impeach a cabinet secretary because there were no grounds to, and he was doing what he thought was the right thing, I got the feeling he got some grief back home from the Republican base, and I know he was getting grief in Washington. And, Mike's one of the more competent people there, right? And normal people as well. And I think he's kind of like, look, I don't need this. And I think he just decided that they could continue the clown show that the Republican caucus is these days without him. And he decided to leave a little early.
Well, last thing I saw before the Congress adjourned for a couple weeks was Marjorie Taylor Greene putting forth a motion to vacate against your buddy Speaker MAGA Mike Johnson. Do you think there's a chance the Democrats will have to step in and save MAGA Mike? And what do you think of that idea, Mark?
I think it's going to be unlikely it's coming up anytime soon if it comes up at all. I was told by another Republican from Wisconsin that all those speaker votes last year just really ate their caucus up and made it very, very difficult to function. And I don't think they want to go through this. All Marjorie cared about was it was a chance to get on TV again that night. And then she'll have something else the next day and then something else the next day. And, eventually the glorious ladies of wrestling will reach out to her and she'll have a new career. But until then, she's going to do what it takes to get, some camera time because, as much as, you and I breathe air and drink water, she needs a camera in front of her. So I think that's really what it was about, plain and simple. And she'll huff and she'll puff. But at the end of the day, I don't think much is going to come out of this.
Mark Pocan, can you ever envision a day with the current makeup of this Hill caucus? Speaker Marjorie Taylor Greene. How's that strike you?
Other than on an SNL episode, probably not.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Congressman Mark Pocan, our friend, joining us. Mark's always a pleasure to speak with you. With regards to Congress, what, we have James Comer. He's apparently invited Joe Biden to testify next month in his impeachment inquiry. Mark, what's your sense of how the impeachment is going for the Republicans? And would you expect the president to show up?
No, on the second part. On the first part, you know, all they can really do these days are censuring resolutions and impeachments, right? That's all that that you know enough of their members are up for. You know, the whole governing part, passing laws and things, they're not so good at. We did 27 bills all of last year, about the fewest since the Depression. So, you know, it's a tough road for them in trying to do the job of what Congress is. And, you know, but censuring resolutions and, you know, quasi impeachments, trying to make something happen. That's something that their members like, they can do. It keeps them out of the speaker's hair. And, you know, so they propose these things, but I really, don't think this is going anywhere.
On the topic of governance, Congressman, pulling out yesterday, economist YouGov, Congress's approval rating is 11%. So, you know, the representative
high. Way too high.
People, it's not great. <high. laughs> but to the point of governance, the Ukraine bill, for example, you know, certainly Speaker Mike Johnson has to deal with his caucus there in Congress. What's your sense? Would you be willing to, you know, join with Mike Johnson and some of a minority of Republicans to push something like that through? And then if it was to mean that he would be, you know, thrown out as speaker, would you support him if that was the case?
Yeah. First of all, again, that second part, I really don't think is even plausible, given the conversations that I've had with people. It was, you know, this is Marjorie, right? So forget, you know, Marjorie is Marjorie. But on the bigger question, I mean, I would absolutely support Ukrainian aid. I think 300 votes would come out of the House, more than that, for Ukrainian aid. But the problem is the way they changed the rules last year under Kevin McCarthy, they can't just put it on the floor the normal way unless they have 218 Republicans who support it, or Mike Johnson has to agree to put it on suspension, which requires 2/3 vote, which they would have with the 300. Or you'd have to have a discharge petition, and there's a couple competing discharge petitions, and there might be a third one coming soon to try to get Ukraine done. The problem is a few of the others include other things like funding for Israel and humanitarian aid, which Republicans hate, and, you know, things like that. So at some point, I think we'll have a vote on it. The question is how you get it to the floor for that, and then, you know, how much does Marjorie, you know, cry and a few others who really don't want to do this. But again, Marjorie cries generally just to attract cameras. And, you know, if she can find other ways to do that, I think her inner, you know, being is satisfied.
Mark, obviously an election year, a little break right now for Congress. What's your sense? What's your the caucus, the Democrats, if they were to push forward their agenda, what would you like to see done between now and the election, legislatively speaking?
Well, I mean, you know, I think realistically, when we get the majority is probably the better way of talking about it, because there's no way we're going to be able to do something between now and November. But, I mean, a big part of it is finishing the president's Build Back Better agenda, right? That was the child care assistance for families. That was the child tax credit for, again, you know, people of more modest means to have some additional support. That means continuing the efforts we've done with trying to lower the cost of prescription drugs and invest in infrastructure. You know, there's a lot of things I think that, you know, we wanted to get done that we didn't get done that were part of the president's agenda that would definitely be the top of the list. And as well as things, don't forget, like, you know, HR1 was a bill to have, you know, protect our elections, protect democracy, address campaign finance reform. You know, those are all things that we would love to get done. But it's going to take us picking up seats in the House, retaining the Senate, and most importantly, holding the White House.
Practically, Mark Polkan, it is an election year, and the State of the Union address is probably the largest audience Joe Biden will have from here to Election Day. And I thought he killed it. I thought his emotion was good. I thought he was very, you know, certainly he cleared all the bars set by the Fox News pundits. But Mark, we're starting to see a shift upwards and a bounce in Joe Biden's polling. And I'm still quite nervous, sir. And I know that Donald Trump's got a lot of headwinds and a lot of legal travails. But Mark, what do you think What do you think the current state of the electorate is? I mean, are we at a coin flip or is our guy down? And how do we get the word out about the policies? You talk about the policies. Well, if people were talking about the Biden policies, he might not be trailing a guy who's 91 times indicted, Mark.
Yeah, that's why Secretary Granholm was in Wisconsin today, because we were talking about the assistance people can get when it comes to whether you want to call it, climate change, addressing climate change, or just providing savings on energy costs. You know, the president's doing that. We're providing both rebates and tax credits for things like solar, for electric vehicles, for home energy audits, for better, more efficient appliances. And those are things that people, by the way, can get at, I think it's rewiringamerica.org is a website you can go to, rewiringamerica.org. And it shows what's all available for people through much of what we did in the Inflation Reduction Act that Joe Biden and the Democrats passed. So I think, you know, we talk about that. We talk about infrastructure dollars coming whenever there's a project. We try to do that, $1.6 billion to expand broadband. But you're right. I mean, you know, we did so much that first 2 years because we were busy governing that we didn't, you know, take a little break and do a victory lap. We just kind of got the next thing done. And now we're trying to get the word out about those things because, you know, Joe Biden got a lot done in those first 2 years. You know, this period with the Republicans in charge of the House, not so much. But we did pretty well those first 2 years of the Biden administration.
Mark, former president, let me be clear on that point. Former President Trump coming to Green Bay on Tuesday on primary election day. What should be the Democrats' response, Mark, to the Cheeto Messiah? How would you?
I think they should just let him do what he's going to do and then make sure we're kind of fact-checking him as well as talking about what he got done as president versus what Joe Biden did. When you talk about the average family in Green Bay or in Wisconsin, for that matter, I guarantee we can put up so many more things that have benefited Wisconsin families done by Joe Biden compared to Donald Trump. I mean, you know, things like the border that he loves to talk about, you know, we just tried to get something done. Donald Trump wouldn't do it. But when Donald Trump was president, had a Republican majority of the House and Senate, he did nothing about the border. So I think those kind of things are important. If people are there because he's entertaining, I mean, go for it. If that's your idea of entertainment, I'm worried for you, but, enjoy, I guess. But we need to just make sure people really understand the difference, and if for normal people who vote, the difference is pretty outstanding.
Mark Pocan, you're pretty outstanding, man. Appreciate you coming around. Congressman, I know they got you on the move today. We'll let you go for now, but we'll catch up real soon.
Thank you, Mark.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Take care.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Come back. Phone lines, they're open. Saving Mega Mike.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
There was a friend of mine on murder.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you join us on the lines, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, always appreciate when my congressman, our friend Mark Pocan, comes around. Next time, come in the studio, Mark. We'll make some room for you. We'll offer you a cold one. You know, we'll be hospitable.
It's like commiserate. I mean, it's at least it's later in the afternoon. It's not 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. I'd still offer him a beer, you know, Van Norden style. Dom, Saving MAGA Mike. This is a quandary the Democrats might face in the House because there is some unfinished business in the Congress. The Ukrainian aid bill. How are they going to fund the Ukrainians when there's so much Putin embracing opposition to this amongst House Republicans? Well, the Democrats might have to bail up McMike. And Dom, I'd like to get your opinion and that of our audience, 844-967-2789. I find the concept of bailing out Mega Mike distasteful. I don't think we should do it. But here is what's being promised by the Dems. A growing chorus of Democrats say promising to protect Speaker Mike Johnson from a budding conservative coup could be their best chance to secure military aid for Kiev that has been stalled on Capitol Hill for months. Now, Johnson left Washington last week vowing to take up the explosive issue of foreign aid when lawmakers return in mid-April from a long holiday recess. Right about the time Trump goes to trial in New York, right, Dom? But hardline conservatives in the GOP conference are firmly opposed to sending billions of dollars more to Ukraine, particularly if not combined with efforts to secure the U.S.-Mexico border. And Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Dom's girl, has already filed a motion to oust the speaker if he bucks the conservatives' demands. A thinly veiled warning for Johnson to keep any form of Ukraine aid off the floor. Now, Democrats are increasingly stepping into this internal Republican clash. Yeah, get your popcorn, fellas. And many of them are vowing to shield Johnson from Greene's motion to vacate if the speaker, the law girl in here, they'd call it in the state of Wisconsin, Dom, if the speaker acts on a Senate-passed foreign aid package, which includes $60 billion for Ukraine and billions more for Israel, Taiwan, and humanitarian aid to Gaza. Now, here's a statement. Rep. Jim Hines, Democrat from Connecticut. If the choice is between Ukraine aid and providing a vote to stop a motion to vacate or no Ukraine aid, I think there's a lot of Democrats who would be willing to assist in getting it done. Hines, a senior Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, was quick to stress he'll support whatever approach is ultimately adopted by the House Minority Leader, Hakeem Jeffries, who has so far declined to say if he'd help rescue Johnson from a potential right-wing revolt. Here's what Heim said. We are very conscious that we're not going to freelance in such a way as to put Leader Jeffries in a bind. No, that's what MTG is for. But Heim's also promoted the Johnson rescue strategy. Ooh, again, I'm not sure if I'm down for this, Tom. An extraordinary two-step dance aligning the conservative speaker with some of his Democratic critics as the most viable option if Congress hopes to adopt Ukraine aid before November. The alternatives, well, the alternative, of course, is the ongoing chaos we have now, Dom, but the alternatives, including a pair of discharge petitions designed to force foreign aid to the floor, simply don't have the bipartisan support to be successful. I think it's the only strategy, Heim said. And for whatever reason, the 20 Republicans that I heard take blood oaths in Munich about, but we must do absolutely everything to get Ukraine aid passed, it turns out that absolutely everything didn't include signing a discharge petition.
Almost absolutely everything.
That's very little. If there's a means and you didn't take it, that's you didn't do it. So given the fact that absolutely everything for lots of Republicans doesn't include taking the massive political risk of signing a discharge petition, which nobody's ever heard of half a mile away from the Capitol Dome, I think that the speaker putting the bill on the floor and are insulating him from the tender mercies of Marjorie Taylor Greene is probably the only option. Oh, damn, Dom. Is that the only option?
Crudy, some rank-and-file Democrats are already jumping on board. Rep. Jared Moskowitz, a Democrat from Florida, a first-term representative, a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee, told The Hill he would not support Greene's motion to vacate under any circumstance. Quote, I will never side with Marjorie Taylor Greene, ever. I will never turn the People's House over to her. But if another member tries to remove Johnson, he would be inclined to protect the speaker if the ouster was prompted by moving aid for Ukraine. If you're telling me Speaker Johnson comes out with the bill that's going to stand by Ukraine and Israel, do humanitarian aid for Palestinians in Gaza, and then there's a motion to vacate him over that, no, I'm not going to support that, he said. Rep. Adam Smith, another Democrat, ranking member of the Armed Services Committee, said last month that Democrats would support Johnson if he moves the Senate National Security Supplemental. And Rep. Eric Swalwell, he told The Hill last week he would do whatever helps the caucus's priorities for our country, but noted the ouster effort may provide the best shot at getting needed aid to Ukraine. Democrats' approach to Johnson's fate marks a sharp departure from the party's sentiments towards his predecessor, you know, the former guy, Crudy, Kevin McCarthy, who was removed from power in October with unanimous Democratic backing. The number of Democrats said afterwards they had offered to help McCarthy survive the expulsion vote, but the cocksure California Republican declined, relegated to backbencher status. He resigned from Congress in December. Yeah, a lot of resigning in Congress going on these days, Crudy. McCarthy, for his part, denied the notion that he turned away Democratic support during an extensive exit interview in his Capitol hideaway shortly before he resigned from the House. A California Republican facetiously told reporters, "I'm sure I didn't ask," when pressed on Democratic claims that he did not request their help. Speculation has swirled around for weeks that Democrats, if faced with another GOP motion to vacate, would consider saving Johnson if he agrees to move aid for Ukraine. Although the Senate passed its foreign aid package with support from 70 senators, including 22 Republicans, Johnson has refused to consider the bill. The impasse has infuriated Kyiv supporters on both sides of the aisle, who say the aid is urgently needed given Ukraine's waning weapons arsenal.
Waning.
So, I mean, given the circumstances and knowing the history of what they did, and they know obviously they let McCarthy hang out there, okay, but I'm down with this. If we need to govern, and if you need to govern with the other side, and this is what it takes to get bills passed that we believe we need as a country for our security, for our safety, to, you know, promote democracy and all that, well, you know, you don't get to choose who's on the other side of the aisle you get to work with. You got the circumstances that you're in. You do the best you can with what you got.
Dom, let's just, you know, and I know the Ukrainians, they're desperate. They need this aid. But if we can only hold out until Gallagher's gone, I mean, if we, you know, pick the right day when a few Congress people were nursing hangovers, we could end up with Speaker Hakeem Jeffries. I bet we could move the Ukraine aid then.
All right.
Paul in Waukesha, I see you on the queue. You're first. If you hold on tight, we are the Devil's Advocates. Love hearing from you fine folks at 844-967-2789. We'll come on back with Paul and you if you dial right now.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday happy hour, Dom. It gets happy at 4 and happier at 5. It's because tomorrow's Friday, you know, getting towards the weekend and all.
Yeah, baby.
We're going to get to the callers, 844-967-2789. Let's start with Paul from Waukesha, as promised. Appreciate your patience, sir. What do you got for us?
Hey, Paul.
You guys are really up on the Ukraine thing. You guys really want more funding and everything for that, huh? How come you're not pushing for a peace plan? You realize that war has been over for at least a year and a half. There's a reason why.
Oh, yeah? Ukraine based on what, Paul?
Hey, that's another thing. Why are you guys always cackling about stuff? This isn't a funny thing.
Bye, Paul. Thanks for your chastisement, but not in the mood, man. Kiss my ass. Sorry. Anyways, you cackling, but
smiling and laughing and having fun when I'm over here, you know, saying a bunch of BS. What war has been over for a year and a half, really, Paul? And based what assessment? Based on what do you say that, sir?
I think he's been
from ass?
No, he heard it on Alex Jones.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure. Well, pretty sure.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. And the election was stolen from Trump. Right, Paul? You got that one for me, too. Just feed me all your Fox News QAnon BS. You know, maybe you should turn it off, Paul. Remember they lied to their audience? They got paid like hundreds of millions of dollars for that. And they still have other billion-dollar cases going on. So maybe consider your sources, Paul. And why do you got to be such a buzzkill, man? Talk about why you guys laugh, why you gotta cackle, have a good time. Well, you know what, Paul, because life is grand. We get to click guys like you off, but thanks for listening.
You know, if you really want sour, I think Vicky's on down the dial right now, Paul. You could probably find her on the radio.
I mean, talk about cackling.
She's always sour. Dom, I don't know if you heard. Recall Robin Voss 2.0.
Oh, apparently, bring it on.
It's a thing.
It's a 2.0, didn't they? No, this is the second one. Okay, I thought they tried something before, but all right.
Well,
they're really, really going to recall.
Now they're, well, you know, lessons learned, Dom. Apparently, they're going to utilize less out-of-state felons to collect the signatures, you know, forged and otherwise.
Well, and, that's too bad. I mean, you know, Donald Trump's coming to town next week. He could go door to door with you. I mean, if you like the criminals collecting your signatures, that's a go to the big guy.
Charged, never convicted at this point. Yeah.
Hey, Creed, I got to tell you, on that topic, I had to CCAP myself after this conversation yesterday about whether we are charged or convicted. And that misdemeanor possession charge from like 1999, I couldn't find it.
Well, it might have aged off your CCAP, fella.
Yeah, baby. Never happened.
25 years, they might they might anniversary it off. I'm not clear.
Yeah.
Like Brad Schimmel, the guy that wants to run for Wisconsin Supreme Court, if you'll recall when he was an assistant AG or DA down in Waukesha County, apparently he got one. And yet he ran for attorney general in the state of Wisconsin, and it was completely gone, like it had been eradicated from a CCAP. And it was a lot less than 25 years.
Well, what was that, a DUI or a possession of
DUI?
DUI.
DUI. Yeah, no, he's too square for marijuana possession. But then again, Dom, technically, I guess, a first DUI in the state of Wisconsin is not a criminal offense.
No.
But you getting caught with weed was.
And if you get caught with, like, one joint, they can charge you with a felony. They charge you. You get caught with two joints, they can charge you with a felony. I mean, it's so asinine, these laws in the state, when all you got to do is go across the border and no biggie. I did see Youngkin. He vetoed
Virginia's bill. Youngkin?
Yeah, yes. The Virginia's bill to legalize marijuana.
Oh, what a popular choice that'll be. Yeah. Hope he does well in re-election. He'll be on the ballot next year, strangely. They're on an off-year balloting, Virginia, I believe. But, Dom, why bring up the recall of Robin Voss 2.0, if not to
make
fun of the moronic, you know, what do you call him? Criming and moronic, the efforts to recall him, Robin Voss said. Well, this time for sure, Dom, I think they got their act together.
Okay.
But here is one valid question that is raised by this recall effort of Robin Voss. Which district? Yep. The 63rd, the old 63rd, or the new 63rd? Because the Wisconsin Elections Commission said they had not collected enough valid signatures from the district, the 2022 63rd, which is where Robin Voss got elected. But they had lots of extra signatures, and apparently, Dom, only being 945 signatures short of the prerequisite, they're asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court for clarity. Well, which maps are the binding maps? Because the Wisconsin Supreme Court said you can't use the unconstitutional maps for any further elections. Yet the Wisconsin Elections Commission is trying to bind this recall effort to the old 63rd, right? Mm. That's where you must collect the ballots. That's where he was elected from, even if it's unconstitutional. Well, they're seeking, this group, although apparently they're also moving forward with the second recall effort, they're seeking clarity from the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Couldn't it be both? I mean, couldn't you have to get the signatures from the old district for the recall effort, and then when he runs, the new district applies?
I'm much less clear. How do you take invalid? I mean, if the people are not his constituents, if this is not his constituents,
they were. I mean, they were the case at the time, correct?
Well, then presumably, if those are the people triggering the recall, what, they no longer sit in the district he's being recalled in? Then how are their petition signatures valid? Well, again, these aren't questions for the devil's advocates. These are questions for the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
But I think that would be an easy answer. You got to get the recall signatures from the old 63rd. And when you actually run the actual election, it's based on the new 63rd.
I would go run into the federal courts were that the ruling of, I mean, man, even I would see problems, the contradiction in those terms. You can't.
Where's the contradiction? I mean, he was elected using the old map.
Go petition signatures over there, but go run over here. That's a contradiction. You're geographically, you may not even be talking about the same territory. How can you say those people that live over there in the old 63rd triggered the recall, but they don't have the right to actually select the people in the new 63rd does? That would be a contradiction under the law. You can't. It's got to be the old maps or the new maps. Can't be both.
You can't split the baby.
I don't
know why you couldn't split the baby. I mean, again, he was elected under the old 63rd. So those would be the current constituents, right? They are the current constituents. the new 63rd, they are not his constituents, and they will not be until November or the next election. So it's entirely plausible to me, you know, I'm no attorney, Crudy, although I did take the LSAT twice, that you could go do the recall, and it should be done, at least under the old, because you can't use an election with the old 63rd based on what the Supreme Court said.
Correct. So you've got a contradiction which would force some ruling from some court. In my greatest fear, when Tony Evers signed these maps, was that this was the plan entirely. And we knew there were anticipated recall efforts of Robin Voss. Why do you think they pushed the implementation into the new maps, right? Because it creates this contradiction in how the electors would know whether or not they were valid to go vote in this election or not. You're not trying to make voter fraud out of common sense constituents, are you? I mean, if I don't know and I go to try and vote, am I not trying to perpetrate voter fraud, whether I'm a willing person or not? Dom, you can't have this sort of electoral confusion. You've got to have clear districts for both. And I think it's got to be the same district, just my personal opinion. But can you see where this would be an issue for the courts? Not for guys like us.
Us, and we're not the attorneys, and we're not the ones actually going out pounding doors and trying to honestly and constitutionally and righteously, you know, perform a recall effort on an elected official that we feel does not represent our interests any longer. I mean, that's a legitimate gripe, whether or not you agree with the politics or not. Yes, as any constituent should have the right to go and do that. And in doing so, they shouldn't be spinning their wheels and then be perhaps charged later if they didn't get the right signatures in the right districts, or at least insinuated that there is some sort of fraud involved. No, absolutely.
Well, the forgery aspect is what the criming might be, is those that actually forge signatures. Yeah, you know, like course. That would be a fraud similar to a fake elector scheme at the Wisconsin State Capitol.
Depending on the situation, if you get someone's signature in the new 63rd, who's not in the old 63rd, well, is that a righteous signature or not? That's the question. And it should be very clear before people go through this effort.
Yes, which is the greater point I was trying to make, because I'm not even wanting to bog down on the question of whether or not Robin Voss has got to be recalled on the old 63rd maps or the new 63rd maps. But it creates a quandary which has to be remedied probably by a court. And I think it's a fair question for those seeking to recall Robin Voss. Which district? And my greatest fear, and I expressed this on the air when I told Tony, be careful, Tony, be careful. They're giving you back your own maps. This could be a Trojan horse, because we saw this coming a mile away. We knew this conflict, this and the Lena Taylor, because we haven't had that special yet either. And is that under the old maps or the new maps? Well, my greatest fear is someone's running to the federal courts and something's going to happen, like the headline I just saw at the Washington Post out of South Carolina. South Carolina to use congressional maps deemed unconstitutional. The U.S. Supreme Court deemed their congressional maps unconstitutional, said you may not use the maps, but has not ruled in a timely fashion, and they got to get the ballots to the printer. So they got the unanimous approval of a federal panel to say the unconstitutional maps are the maps we're going to utilize for the elections this fall. Do you see how that happened? No new maps. Even though the U.S. Supreme Court said new maps required, they said, can't get there from here. You guys didn't rule quickly enough. Can you see Crudy's concern how the echoes of a case like this could play out in the state of Wisconsin? But let's jump to our buddy Patrick Marley at the Washington Post. The Supreme Court heard arguments on the redistricting case in October, but is yet to rule, essentially running out the clock on this year's election. Sounds like something they're trying to do on the Trump question of immunity, does it not?
Mm-hmm.
A federal court ruled Thursday that time had run out to draw a new congressional district in South Carolina and said the state could use its existing map this year, even though it had earlier determined that map was unconstitutional. Well, talking about contradictions under law, Dom, the panel of three judges last year concluded that South Carolina's Republican-led legislature exiled 30,000 black voters from the district to make it safer for white GOP incumbent Rep. Nancy Mace. It would have to involve one of these, you know, because she's one of the performative ones, Dom. South Carolina appealed and both sides asked the Supreme Court to expedite the case to ensure a final ruling was in place well ahead of the election season, which is upon us. The justices heard arguments in October, but have yet to rule. And with no decision and a June 11th primary on the horizon, South Carolina sought permission. Now understand, who would seek this permission? The same Republicans that passed these maps. They sought permission this year to use the maps, even though it had been deemed unconstitutional, and the panel of judges unanimously agreed to keep the maps in place for this election. How could you possibly agree? You contradict your own rule.
Black voters will only have to last until, you know, this ruling actually comes down.
It noted the courts typically don't allow maps to be used once they've been found to be invalid, but with the primary election procedures rapidly approaching, the appeal before the Supreme Court still pending, and no remedial plan in place. The ideal must bend to the practical. Do you see why I was worried about the maps here in the state of Wisconsin? Do you see what is happening in real time in South Carolina? And Dom, if the Supreme Court later upholds the lower court ruling, the new maps would have to be drawn for the 2026 election.
You know, another couple of years. What's the big deal? 30,000 black voters. No problem.
Well, I'm sure they feel well represented by Nancy Mace and her MAGA self.
Sure they do.
Folks, we are the devil's advocates. This
that's very, very concerning.
It's very concerning. And if this comes to pass in the state of Wisconsin, don't say yours truly didn't warn you so. 844-967-2789. Unless you're calling to chastise, I mean, use the text line for that. That's what the other people do. I get chastised plenty. It's less insulting when I read it because then I can, you know, move past it and then ruminate over it late at night, cry myself to sleep like Scott Walker.
You'll be fine. I've
been doing since that fateful day in September of 2015 when he dropped out of the race, you know, to allow a more conservative contender to take out Trump. More devils.
How'd that work?
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about. The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines 844-967-2789 or just download the Civic Media app. Take the Devils with you everywhere you go. Hit the button to text and to call or just pick up that rotary recruiter 844-967-2789.
Bring. I don't know if we're waiting for the world to change that, but here in the state of Wisconsin, we're certainly waiting for the new fairer maps, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And I wanted to kind of put a bow on this South Carolina topic because the congressional maps in South Carolina are going to basically utilize the same unconstitutional lines that the Republican lawmakers utilized to try and, let's say, disenfranchise 30,000 black South Carolinians. And they've been doing it here in the state of Wisconsin for 12 years or more. Now, it might be less blatantly racist, although the last time we saw the maps adjusted at all, it was for racial reasons. That's the only thing the U.S. Supreme Court seems to care about anymore. You know, partisan. Hell, that's fine. But you can cross a line to the point of racial bigotry beyond the point of constitutionality. And that was the ruling prior by a federal appeals court, 3-judge panel. And then it went up to the U.S. Supreme Court in October, and they haven't ruled. And now this federal court that ruled these maps unconstitutional is in a quandary. You got primaries coming up. People have to, what? Start deciding to run.
You got to print the ballot.
They must file paperwork to run by Monday, and ballots must be sent to military and overseas voters, South Carolina ballots, by April 27th under federal law. So these are hard deadlines, and the U.S. Supreme Court didn't care, didn't meet them. So now this federal panel unanimously said, despite the fact that we've judged these maps unconstitutional, if you got to use them, you got to use them. Despite the disenfranchisement of over 30,000 black voters in South Carolina. So here
in a presidential election year.
Is that an important thing?
I mean, and it's
not like the margins are close in the U.S. House right now, are they? Like every congressperson could matter. Here is a statement from the ACLU Voting Rights Project. By refusing to take meaningful action, the legislature has undermined democracy and further entrenched voter suppression in the state. Well, that was the intent here as well, Dom. It still is. I mean, these Republicans, if they could get a redo, they would. And could you imagine the Robin Voss recall being the justification for the redo? I mean, because these people have a legitimate right to an answer. Again, we talked about the fact, the old 63rd or the new 63rd. Well, you can't send people out to collect ballots and then say, but the guy gets to run in a different district than his former constituents that have signed their willingness to recall him have signed from.
You know, regardless,
I see a contradiction there.
Regardless of what the end result may be, is that there's not a clear answer right now.
And that's why you run to the courts. And this contradiction in how you're going to run potentially a special election for Lena Taylor for her former district. She's been appointed to a district court by Tony Evers. She's a Dem. He's a Dem. She's on the district court. Now we got a special. We need a special to replace her in the Wisconsin State Senate. But old maps are new maps. And again, the Robin Voss. Now, they may or may not successfully achieve the recall, but they do have a right to a response from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Old maps, new maps. And what happens if they don't get a response in time? Well, they've already moved forward. Recall Voss 2.0. Seems like they've got a plan. They're going forward. But my greatest fear, again, Dom, is someone on their behalf is going to go running off to the federal courts, and someone's going to say, we don't have time to determine this. We're stuck with the old unconstitutional maps. Just don't have time. The ballots have to get printed. It's always been my fear. And I'm not trying to kill your buzz or
be a Paul from Waukesha or anything like that.
This
is why we you know, took the position that Tony should veto his own maps. It's a trick. It's a trap. Don't do it. It's like Star Wars. But of course, he signed them. And here's where we're at. This situation was, these possibilities were well known back then. And I mean, I remain hopeful that that won't be the case. And I'm not for or against the recall, but certainly as a citizen of the state of Wisconsin, if I don't like the representation I am getting from my elected officials, I have every right, as do these folks down in Robin Voss's old/new district, to exercise the recall. We can do that. And then I absolutely back anybody's right to do that. Republican, independent, Democrat, doesn't matter. You got a right to do that. That's how our system works.
Recall down.
When we have gaps in the system, we have the right to know whether or not what we're doing is proper, whether or not what we're doing is a waste of time, or whether
it's a waste of time. Clearly, Dom. I mean, just look at the timeline. Now, this Voss recall 2.0, he now must collect the new signatures, and I believe, if memory serves, and it's usually pretty good, 6,850 signatures from the old 63rd that technically would trigger a recall. That would meet the standard set by the Wisconsin Elections Commission, but we didn't used to have old district, new districts. So, you know, hopefully it's the Wisconsin Supreme Court that gets on this with some alacrity and gives some clarity to this notion. But if May 28th is your timeline, and then you got a week or two while Voss tries to challenge all the ballot signatures, and let's say they're successful, they got 7,000 qualifying signatures. Voss could, first and foremost, run off to a court and say, well, it's not fair, it's not fair, which I suspect he would. He only hasn't done that to date because, you know, it doesn't seem like they've got the qualifying signatures with Robin Voss recall.
Correct.
Number one. But if they got it, Voss would certainly utilize the courts. But even with success, even if they get the signatures, Voss didn't challenge it. It's an expedited timeline. They say yes. I mean, that'd be mid-June. we collected the signatures for Walker, and they got turned in by like March, and we had a June recall. If you turn in the signatures at the end of May, when the hell's the election going to be? I mean, the guy's going to be back on the ballot like 2 weeks later. I'm just talking from a practical point of view. You could theoretically.
The presidential, yes. November election. If they get in by June, maybe it's June, July, August, September, maybe. Who knows? And then, oh, yeah, we have another election in November.
October surprise.
Yeah, there you go.
More Devils. A happier, happy hour. The Thursday edition is next.